And we're going to start with the first request was number 314314 In the Garden. A classic, beautiful hymn, number 314 In the Garden, and we'll sing verses 1 and 3. Yes. Number 526, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, verses 1 and 3. Hymn 526. Helen says, number 77. How Great Thou Art, number 77. Can we do verses 1 and 4? Okay, 1 and 4, number 77. have time for one or two more. Do we have another request, please? 70. Okay. 156. Thank you. Number 156. I love to tell the story, and do you have favorite verses? 1 and 4. 1 and 4. 156. If not, we can wrap up our hymn sing right there, and we'll continue with our service. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful. Good morning. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. I'm glad you braved the cold and you're all here. Our announcements for this morning. We have birthdays still in February. I hope everyone is celebrating. Did you celebrate, Phillips? I hope he is anyway. The February newsletter was either in your email or it's out in the Northex. The next is the whiteboard study, and they have been going through the Old Testament, and today they introduced Jesus. So they said this is a good time to start coming to a Bible study. So they will do Jesus and his ministries and head through the New Testament. So we would like to see you all come out for Bible study. The Hearts Grow is, I'm going to have to read it from there. I can't read it up here. The second and fourth Sundays, children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship time. Parents are also welcome. Next Parents Night Out is Friday, February 24th. It'll be a game night. Deb, is game night include parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles or just kids? Yes. So adults are welcome to come to game night. Free food, she says.
All right.
No other reason to come but for free food. The next movie on March 4th is Ticket to Paradise with George Clooney and Julia Roberts. I've heard it's excellent and funny. So those who have seen it, you can come and watch it again. And the last one is donating to World Vision. 30-hour famine is coming up. Did you want to say more about 30-hour famine, Deb? Sure, she says.
Yes. We are going to be having probably a remote 30-hour famine because some of our kids are working and vacationing in Europe for 2 months, which is very exciting for Destiny. Keep her in prayer. We may be doing some in-person things, but I'm also going to be challenging the church to fast when you're able and donate when you can. You can click on this link on our website, and it'll take you to the World Vision donation page. You can sign up yourself and ask your friends to sponsor you for fasting for whenever you can. But I will also be showing some of the World Vision videos about a girl named, I think it's Mahana, I can't remember, but during the children's time. So you'll be seeing some of those videos and being encouraged to fast and donate and make a difference. So please donate wherever you can. Also, today is Super Bowl Sunday, and if you would like to put in an extra offering for ICSC, I'll be putting a pot out by the back of the door, and you can empty your loose change or put some money in there. All of that money will be going to our Interfaith Community Support Center.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Any other announcements? If you will stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. It was a call. God is an invisible guest at every meal.
He is an unseen listener in every conversation.
He is a hidden force behind every human affair.
He is an unnoticed contributor to every happiness.
He is the living God. Please join us in our first hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You, number 89.
Light of day. All thy walks with
joy surround me, both in heaven reflect the rays. Stars and angels sing around me, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Our giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love of thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine.
Now we come to that time of passing the peace where we still are doing waving and hand greetings, but I would like you to make eye contact with somebody you haven't seen before, and don't forget about Zoom, wave to them too.
And we want to also welcome Bill and April, Alicia, and Carol and Mike on Zoom.
You may be seated, which you already are. Joys and concerns, Deb has the mic. If you would like to share a joy or a concern, just raise your hand.
Dale, can you admit iPad up there, please, on the other screen? I have a concern from Pat. Her niece, Emily, that has the preemie twins, Vianne got to come home. I think I have those names right. And Ren is still in the hospital, but all of them have COVID right now. So please pray for a good recovery and for strength and for Ren to keep on getting bigger so she can come home, and then they can just all have fun together at home. So pray for that little family.
I have a joy and a concern. My wife is here today after being in the hospital recently. The concern is that they're still not sure what caused her passing out. So she's wearing a heart monitor for 2 weeks and seeing a neurologist next week.
I would ask for prayers for my sister's nephew. He lives in Maine. However, currently he's at Boston General, where they have done a number of rounds of chemo, and they extracted his stem cells and have treated the stem cells, and tomorrow they're going to be reintroduced into back into himself. And they hope that he will be in remission from multiple myeloma.
Oh, thank you. Sean.
Sean Gray.
Sean Gray. Hi, I'm Judy Salveson, and I'm asking for prayers for the people in Turkey. My friend Hakan lives in Adana, and with the initial earthquake of 7.8, they lost 6 17-story buildings that collapsed. And 15 minutes later, they had a 6.8 earthquake and lost a couple more. And since then, they have about a total in his town of Adana that are totally collapsed. His mother lives just across the way in an apartment building. And he sent me pictures of that, and there are cracks all over that building, and people are not able to live in their homes because of the structural damage until the government comes out and checks everything out. Schools are closed until the 20th of February, at which time they'll reevaluate things. Hakan and his family are all well. They all, nothing happened with them, but they're all living in Old Town where they have two-story buildings and three-story buildings, and nothing happened there. So I guess high-rise apartments are not as good as lower ones. But there's so much tragedy in things. He has a friend that his daughter went away to college, and they can't find her, and they've gone to the city where she is going to school, and they still haven't located her body or anything. So there's a lot of stories like that, and you've seen a bunch of them on the news. And plus, it's very, very cold there. Some of the people that are digging it, it's so cold that they can't even pick up rocks with their hands. So anyway, prayers for those people. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy.
Yeah, the situation in Turkey is really, really serious. And I'd like to encourage you to continue to pray. I mean, we don't know how long it's going to take to clear up all the rubble and rescue those who are still buried. But some say right now it's about 20,000 death, but it's going to rise. Some even said that it's maybe up to 100,000. So it's really, really serious. I also like to remind you that we as a denomination has an organization that helps out to those in that kind of life circumstances. 100% of your donation goes to that cause. That's the one thing good about this OMCOR. So if you would write in your offering, designate a portion of it, and then indicate that it goes to the earthquake victims and then OMCOR, then 100% of your donation will go for that.
Deb, I think there were a couple more in the back.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'd like everyone to pray for our neighbor, Rebecca. She's back in the hospital again with gallstones. Thank you.
I just want to thank everybody for your prayers and your cards and your hugs and everything. I love you guys, so thank you.
Anyone on Zoom, please raise your hand.
As we move into a time of prayer and silence, please join me in the unison prayer. Heavenly Father, our vision is often blurred by a lack of understanding, but you know everything about our past, present, and future. We are tossed about like a ship on the ocean, but you have everything under your control. Help us to hold on to you, for you are the anchor of our soul. Grant us peace when our confidence is shaken. Help us walk on faith, trusting that you reward those who put their hope in you. For your name's sake, amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering all those loved ones that God has placed in our life circle, all those who need God's healing touch, and especially those earthquake victims in Turkey. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that our life is like a restless sea, and we are always tossed about and feel restless, and we are so puzzled by what just happened in Turkey, And our heart and prayers go out to those victims and the families. And we pray, O Lord, that you will reach out onto each and every one of them and touch their hearts and touch their lives. Let them know that you are near, you are there for them, and you are with them. And Lord, as we face troubles before our eyes, we begin to doubt about your love, begin to doubt about your presence, begin to doubt about your power. For we are weak humans. We have a lot of weaknesses. And in spite of all that, O Lord, we still have this small faith that you have given unto us. And because of this faith we have, we can still proclaim that you are the living God. Even when we cannot see you, you work mysteriously in our midst and lead us on. So we come together as one community of faith and celebrate our life in you, in spite of all the troubles we see. So Lord, we ask you to increase our faith, that we may fight on, we may continue on this lifelong journey. And we know, O Lord, in the end, you will give us this ultimate victory, that we will all see with our own eyes that your love never fails, and with your love and your grace, we will reach our destination and humble ourselves before you, acknowledging that you have been so faithful that you have sustained our lives without failing. So, Lord, we come to you, acknowledging that you are our Savior and we are your children. And with you, we can overcome any challenges this life brings. We can overcome any problems. So we come to you lifting our prayers and praises, confessing once more that you are our sovereign God, that you have everything under your control. And our life is in you. You have the full control over our lives. So we humbly submit to you and to your power and pray that you have a wonderful plan for each of us. And we pray that your will, that is perfect and wonderful, will be accomplished upon our lives, upon our loved ones, upon this church, and upon this world today. So we now join our hearts in prayer, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's story is, We Don't Eat Our Classmates. by Ryan T. Higgins. Penelope Rex was nervous. It's not every day a little T-Rex starts school. What are my classmates going to be like? Will they be nice? How many teeth will they have? This was very important. Penelope's mom bought her a new backpack with ponies on it. Ponies were Penelope's favorite, because ponies are delicious. Penelope's dad packed her a lunch of 300 tuna sandwiches and one apple juice. Finally, the big day came. And Penelope Rex was very surprised to find out that all of her classmates were children. So she ate them, because children are delicious. Penelope Rex, said Mrs. Noodleman, we don't eat our classmates. Please spit them out at once. So she did. It was not the best way to start school. Still, Penelope was determined to have a good first day. She tried hard to make friends at recess. She finger-painted some of her best work. She even saved Griffin Emery a seat at lunch. You can sit here. Penelope started to notice everyone was making friends but her. It was lonely. When she got home, her dad asked her about her first day of school. I didn't make any friends, Penelope cried. None of the children wanted to play with me. Penelope Rex, her father asked, did you eat your classmates? Well, maybe, sort of, just a little bit. Sometimes it's hard to make friends, said her dad, especially if you eat them. You see, Penelope, children are just the same as us on the inside. Just tastier. That gave Penelope a lot to think about. The next day, Penelope tried really hard. But poor Penelope, she could not stop herself from eating her classmates. Mrs. Noodleman, Penelope ate Bull Yamamoto again. And they were all afraid of her. Except Walter. Walter was a goldfish. So Penelope tried to make friends with him. Will you be my friend? Chomp! Eee! Cried Penelope. He's eating my finger! Wah! Once Penelope found out what it was like to be someone's snack, she lost her appetite for children. She stopped eating her classmates, even when Cece Woodman spilled barbecue sauce all over herself. And soon Penelope made friends. Found you. Want a brownie? I helped make them. Now, even when children look especially delicious, she peeks at Walter and remembers what it's like when someone tries to eat you. And Walter, the goldfish, stares right back at her and licks his lips. Because dinosaurs are delicious. The end. There are countless times that Jesus modeled not just sympathy, but empathy. He taught us to feel what it is like to be an outcast and to reach out in love. When Jesus healed the leper, he broke the religious societal rules by touching him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." He could have healed him without touching him, but he chose to physically bring him back into society. Colossians 3:12 says, "So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." And Micah 6:8 says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God?" So may we reach out to those who are different from us, choosing love over selfishness and fear. May God's love be evident in our hearts, in our actions, because love is delicious. Amen.
Now I invite you to sing "I Need Thee Every Hour," number 397. Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 Samuel 9, 3 to 13. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, had strayed. So Kish said to his son, Saul, "Take one of the young men with you. Go and look for the donkeys." He passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalishah, but they did not find them. They passed through the land of Shalem, but they were not there. Then he passed through the land of Benjamin, but they did not find them. When they came to the land of Suph, Saul said to the young man who was with him, "Let us turn back, or my father will stop worrying about the donkeys and worry about us." But he said to them, "There is a man of God in this town. He is a man held in honor. Whatever he says always comes true. Let us go there now. Perhaps he will tell us about the journey on which we have set out." Then Saul replied to the young man, But if we go, what can we bring the man? For the bread in our sacks is gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What have we? The young man answered Saul again, Here, I have with me a quarter shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, anyone who went to inquire of God would say, Come, let us go to the seer. For the one who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. Saul said to the young man, Good, come, let us go. So they went to the town where the man of God was. As they went up the hill to the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water and said to them, Is the seer here? They answered, Yes, he is there just ahead of you. Hurry, he has come just now to the town, because the people have a sacrifice today at the shrine. As soon as you enter the town, you will meet him before he goes up to the shrine to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, since he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those eat who are invited. Now, go up, for you will meet him immediately. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all here in the sanctuary and all those who have come to join us via Zoom. See if I have missed anyone. Great. I greet each and every one of you in the name of Christ and pray that your worshiping will be a time of God speaking to you, to each and every one of you, that God would speak through the scripture and you will get to hear the message that God has prepared for each and every one of you. An American tourist from California traveling to Hong Kong killed a little time playing poker with three wealthy Chinese. As he spoke no Chinese and those Chinese no English, they got an interpreter. All went quietly for a while, but in due course, the American was dealt a four-card flush and bet $100. At this, the Chinese gentleman next to him exclaimed, Amoy, which the interpreter explained meant he raised 100. The next Chinese announced, Afoy, and the interpreter said, he raises you 200 more. The third Chinese grunted, Agoy, which the interpreter explained as another 100 raise. In spite of the competition, the American decided to stay with the pot and drew his one card. Noting that he had failed to fill his flush, he cried, Afui! At which the Chinese all threw down their hands. Nice going, mister, cried the interpreter, slapped him on the back. Your million-dollar bluff won the pot. You know, fui is an informal English word to express disbelief and disappointment. The American tourist said it because he lost the pot. It apparently sounded like a Chinese word, of which the American tourist had no knowledge. On the other hand, the Chinese did not know the English word. They thought that American tourist had announced that he had drawn a winning card. It was purely by ignorance that the Chinese players gave up and the American won the pot. Ignorance customarily leads people to trouble, but in some instances, it does lead people to success. Something like this is called blessings in disguise, such as someone had a terrible headache, which forced him to stay home and escape a disaster. Some people got fired from work, and a new job landed them much better opportunities. A computer system was broken, and a flight attendant could not fix her mistake on the work schedule, and she was saved from an accident. An old parishioner of mine told me that she lost her struggling store by fire. After she relocated the store, her business boomed. Troubles aren't always bad. In his book titled In the Eyes of the Storm, Max Lucado reworded a Chinese fable to explain two sides of trouble. Once there was an old woodcutter living in a tiny village. Although poor, he was envied by all, for he owned a beautiful white horse. People offered fabulous prices for the steed, but the old man always refused. One morning he found that the horse was not in the stable. All the village came to see him. "You old fool," they scoffed. "It would have been better to have sold him. You could have gotten whatever price you wanted. Now the horse is gone." The old man responded, "Don't speak too quickly. If I've been cursed or not, how can you know?" The people contested, "Don't make us out to be fools. We may not be wise philosophers, but the simple fact that your horse is gone is a curse." After 15 days, the horse returned. Not only had he returned, he had brought a dozen wild horses with him. Once again, the village people gathered around the woodcutter and spoke, "Old man, you were right. What we thought was a curse was a blessing. Please forgive us." The man responded, "Life is so vast. All you have is a fragment. Don't say that this is a blessing. No one knows. I'm content with what I know. I'm not perturbed by what I don't." The old man had a son, the only son. The young man began to break the wild horses. After a few days, he fell from one of the horses and broke both legs. "You were right," the villagers said. "The dozen horses were not a blessing. They were a curse. Your only son has broken his leg, and now in your old age, you have no one to help you. Now you are poorer than ever." The old man spoke again. "Don't go so far. Say only that my son broke his leg. Who knows if it is a blessing or a curse? No one knows. We only have a fragment. Life comes in fragments." It so happened that a few weeks later, the country engaged in war against a neighboring country. All the young men of the village were required to join the army. Only the son of the old man was excluded because he was injured. Once again, the people gathered around the old man and said, "Your son's accident was a blessing. His legs may be broken, but at least he is with you. Our sons are gone forever." There are two aspects of trouble, and one side that we as believers in Christ often overlook is God's involvement in our troubles. There is no coincidence for those who are in Christ. Why do troubles happen, or why does God cause them to happen? The Word of God this morning is an excellent place to find an answer to these questions. Saul's father, Kish, lost donkeys. People in Mideastern countries have used donkeys for over 5,000 years, some say 7,000 years. They still are a very valuable means of transportation and agriculture to Palestinians. Donkeys pull carts and carry heavy loads and people on their backs. In ancient farming communities, donkeys were like their hands and feet. Kish lost substantial assets and had to take action to recover them right away. So he sent his son Saul and a servant to look for the donkeys. I cannot pinpoint locations where they searched them, but it seems they covered a vast area beyond their locality and became very frustrated. Let me read a couple of verses from the Message translation. See how many places they covered and discouragement they felt. They went into the hill country of Ephraim around Cilicia, but didn't find them. Then they went over to Shalim, no luck. Then to Zabin, and still nothing. When they got to Zob, Saul said to the young man with him, "Enough of this. Let's go back. Soon my father is going to forget about the donkeys and start worrying about us." Failure to find their family's most valuable asset made Saul so discouraged. Saul felt that he had finally reached a dead end. He did not have any other choice but to give up. We can sympathize with Saul and understand his despondency. What do we do in this kind of situation? Life often spins out of control, and we try our best to do the damage control. When our effort does not improve the situation, then it would be wise to give up and suffer the loss instead of wasting more time and energy. But the story did not end there. Behind the loss of the donkeys and Saul's frustration was God's intervention, about which Saul, his servant, and his father had no knowledge. God orchestrated the lost donkeys to bring Saul to where Samuel was. In the meantime, God informed Samuel about his forthcoming encounter with Saul, whom Samuel never met before. Samuel made arrangements to dine with Saul before his arrival. When Saul approached Samuel, God told Samuel he was the man. After eating with Saul, Samuel anointed him as the first king of Israel. Saul did not and could not see the whole picture of how God operated in his life. What Saul witnessed was the escalation of bad turning into worse. The donkeys were already found, but he thought that their donkeys were lost forever. God decided to enthrone him as the first king of Israel, but Saul had no way of knowing God's blessing on his way. What do we do in trouble? We can identify ourselves with how Saul reacted to his problem. Our senses and capabilities become frozen, and we cannot see beyond our troubles. But God's words offers us an insight into understanding our troubles as blessings from God. As it happened to Saul, our current problems may be a prelude to God's unexpected blessing. Our troubles may appear to put things in chaos, but they are within the realm of God's power and operation. God uses our crises to redirect us to a new path. William Cowper, in the 18th century, wrote an inspirational poem. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonder to perform. He plants his footstep in the sea and rises upon the storm. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. His purpose will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bird may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. That is a beautiful expression. The bird may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err, but scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Storms of life may seem unfavorable, but will benefit us later or in the long run. Blessings in disguise sound illogical, but God often operates in this way. Trouble is a human language, but it is not found in God's dictionary. Trouble in our eyes means God's intervention, that God is in control. As every dark cloud has a silver lining. Therefore, our trouble should not discourage us. Let us endure hardship and even delight in hardship if we can. For our trouble may be a God's blessing in disguise. Amen.
We now invite you in to a time of sharing of your tithes and offerings. You can place your offering in a basket or in a container in the back, or you can mail it into the church, to the church office. And this morning, for the first time in a very long time, we have our choir back.
Start from above.
Precious Lord Jesus Christ, as we stand before your cross, we are forever grateful, and we know that this life we have is in you, and everything we have has come from you. So, Lord, with this offering, we want to acknowledge that you are the source of our blessing, and we want to bless you. Receive this offering, make it a fragrance before your presence, and bless this offering that it may be used to extend your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please join us in singing our closing hymn, Blessed Assurance, number 369.
Tempted to begin to doubt about your presence, help us to remember that we've been so blessed in every way, and you've been so good to us without failing. So, Lord, may we be happy in trouble, knowing that your blessings always surround us, that our lives been filled with the goodness of your mercy. So send us forth with this assurance of faith in you, that we may face troubles and overcome them all, knowing that our troubles are blessings in disguise. And we ask you to send us forth with this blessing in your message and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.